You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you today?
Pam, I'm good. I'm good. You doing good?
I'm doing good. You know, it's always a great day when we record a podcast because I think we both learned something from all of our guests that we have on the podcast.
Always.
But I'm excited about today's guest. You know, one of the things that I think about whenever somebody's diagnosed, they have all these appointments to make sure that they get their heart checked before they get chemotherapy or, you know, all the things that they have to do before they start treatment. And sometimes I think dental checkup is probably the last on the list for some.
Yeah.
Maybe not head and neck, but, you know, I know dental care is so important. It's important to our health. And so to learn more about that, I'm really excited.
Yes. And Pam, I think we would both, I know you would probably agree with me and our listeners probably would as well. There's not a lot more painful than a toothache or...
Yeah.
Mouth sores, you know, regardless of cancer, let's just talk about just in general, right? I mean, dental problems are major problems in my book.
Yes, they come on fast too.
They do. And so, you know, you compound that, right, with radiation, especially if it's like a head and neck radiation or various chemos, I know, and we're going to talk about some of these things, but I just remember from my days working at one of the treatment centers, hearing about mouth sores and, you know, side effects of chemo and taste and things like that. So yes, there's going to be a lot.
Magic mouthwash, right?
Magic. If I've heard magic, I mean, I bet our listener go, oh my gosh, I've heard, I've had, I've tasted, I've done. There's a lot to unpack here. And you're right. There's a lot to learn and take in. So we're very, very excited, Pam, to have on our podcast today, Jill Meyer-Lippert. She is a registered dental hygienist, and she's the founder of Side Effect Support, Pam, which there's probably no better way to describe an organization with that name is Side Effect Support. You know exactly what they do. It's dedicated to helping cancer survivors manage short-term oral side effects and long-term damage to oral health associated with various cancer therapies. Jill, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate the invitation to join you today.
Thank you for coming on. Jill, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I have been, I live in Wisconsin. I have been in dentistry since the early 90s. I started out as a dental assistant, being trained on the job while I was waiting to get into the dental hygiene program to get my license to be a hygienist. And almost at the exact same time that I started that first job, my mom announced that she had received a breast cancer diagnosis. And when I saw how badly she was suffering with problems inside of her mouth from her treatments, it just really struck me what a lack of resources there were for her. And then I realized what a lack of resources there were for us as healthcare providers, both on the medical and the dental side, to help our patients. So it just early on really lit a fire in me and snowballed through the years to eventually turn into creating Side Effect Support.
Yeah. Well, it's you're perfectly situated, right? You're in the world of dentistry, and witnessed and saw, but and I don't know how to ask this without maybe it sounding kind of tongue in cheek, no pun intended, but like, is there a lot made of, you know, the dental side effects, or are we talking like there's legitimate concerns that people should have?
Oh, definitely legitimate concerns. It's so much more than just a comfort issue. And I think that's so many times how it's viewed, that it's just something you need to deal with. You need to, you know, just accept that it's part of the care routine. But there are things that we can do if we are anticipating what type of side effects somebody may encounter, and to realize, I mean, just like you mentioned, having a toothache, how hard that is, having mouth sores, it affects your nutrition. It affects your mood, your everything, your appearance. All those types of things are so important. And we need to protect oral health in order to maintain quality of life throughout survivorship too. And I think that's something that I always try to remind people. It is not just about surviving. It is about quality of life as much as possible during the process and also through those survivorship years.
So how important is it to get a dental exam before you even start?
It is important, and it's not possible for absolutely everybody. Some people, you know, especially with blood cancers, may go from diagnosis into treatments right away. But as you mentioned, typically there are a list of appointments and people you see before starting chemo or other treatments to make sure that it's going to be the safest experience for you. And if we could get a dental appointment in that sequence, it could make such a big difference for people with their comfort and infection risks. And I think that's one thing that many times falls through the cracks is realizing how dental problems can raise our risk for other types of infections during treatments when blood counts are low.
I believe there's a lot of studies out there on that, correct?
Yes, and also with respiratory infections. So if you have somebody with hospital-acquired pneumonia or, you know, those types of things can be affected by the bacteria inside of your mouth. So it's important that we know that people are going into treatments without any active decay, any active infection, and they have the tools that they need to help care for their mouth during the process.
So this is probably a very good point to tell our listeners or remind our listeners that they need to be their best advocate. And we've talked about that yes. countless times. And this is a great opportunity. If you are in treatment and you've not had a dental appointment recently, or you're starting to notice it's okay to tell your doctor, I need a dentist appointment. If you don't have a dentist, they should be able to help you find one. And I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a second. But if you do have a dentist, get a dental appointment. Make that appointment. Yes. Talk to your dentist and inform them. Just because, and this is one thing I know that we've talked about, Pam, just because maybe your oncologist doesn't do it doesn't mean you can't do this on your own in terms of getting a dental appointment done.
If you are in treatment, make sure that you let your oncologist know that you're going to get a dental exam so that your counts are up and you're not at risk for infection. So let's talk about some of the impact that cancer care can have on our dental health.
One of the most common problems is people will have with many different types of medications or treatments is dry mouth. Our saliva is actually really important for keeping a healthy mouth and preventing infections. So when somebody has a lack of saliva, it really can make them susceptible to damaging their teeth, to having more infections, to having taste changes. So that's a big one that is just really common. That also puts people more at risk for developing mouth sores. The oral mucositis is very common with many types of treatments, and obviously that can increase infection risk. It can affect the ability to eat. And there are so many other conditions that people all maybe won't think about. You know, they might become more susceptible to gum disease, where you could risk losing teeth at some point. There are certain treatments or medications that have a risk for something called osteonecrosis of the jaw, where the jawbone can actually die. So it can be just a plethora of problems depending on that person's specific diagnosis, their treatment plan, other medical conditions they might be dealing with, and their dental history. So if somebody goes into treatments already having a very healthy mouth, they're much less likely to have problems. Doesn't mean they're immune to it, but they're going to be less likely to have problems versus somebody that goes in with a lot of dental problems and a lot of history of dental disease.
So you talk about dry mouth. Is there a magic fix for that?
Right where I was going, Pam. That's right where I was going.
I wish there was. dry mouth is tricky because it's there's really no one size fits all with it. And that's really something that I encourage patients to be open to trying different products. There are a ton of over-the-counter products. There are some prescription products that are available, but you may find that one product works really well for one person, but not so great for the next. Or you may find that something works really well for you right now, but then your medications change and your body chemistry changes, and maybe that doesn't work as well anymore. So just to be open to trying different things, don't get frustrated and give up right away. There are more and more products that are coming out on the market for dry mouth, because manufacturers realize that this is it's a big market. And as a baby boomer generation is aging, and, you know, in general, we have a lot of medications in society that cause dry mouth, there is a need for it. And manufacturers are taking note of that and bringing out more and more options.
Are there things that we should avoid?
Yes. So make sure that when you are using certain products that you talk with a dental professional about the product, get some recommendations that they can double check these products to make sure they don't have things that are just going to mask the symptom, but then end up causing more problems. There's an example that I really like to use just because I feel it's so impactful, that there are some facilities or clinics that would recommend their patients suck on lemon drops to help remedy dry mouth, or suck on cough drops or Jolly Ranchers or things like that, which it will give that immediate sensation of thinking, oh, this is helping. I can feel like it's stimulating my saliva flow. But in the end, that can cause a lot of damage to oral health. That it just increases the risk for cavities, damaging teeth, and then in turn raising infection risk in the process. So it's just important to vet the products a little bit, make sure that they're not just masking the symptom and then going to cause more problems down the line.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, just as you said, it's going to take a lot of patience. It's going to take a lot of perseverance, right, to find that one product that is going to work. There is no magic bullet, as you said, that will fix it all and do it all. But goodness me, I can't imagine not being willing to try and try and try till you find that one or multiple things that work for them.
Right.
What about, you said, talk about things to avoid, and you talk about like the candies and the things like that, but are there other foods and specific drinks that folks should avoid as well?
Sure. So like sodas, acidic type foods and drinks like that can damage tooth structure. Just staying with using a lot of sauces and gravies, keeping that diet really moist is great. The more that you have just really dry, crusty foods, that's going to not help the dryness by any means, but then it also puts that tissue at risk for having some trauma with dry tissue, just is more susceptible to having food trauma or toothbrush trauma and things like that. So you have to be kind of protective with stuff like that. And then, of course, the sugary things.
Yeah.
You want to avoid that.
For sure. Well, and you talked about tooth trauma. Is now a good time to maybe jump into brushing and types of tooth brushes? Because I know there's some concern about that.
Yes, it's best for everybody to use an extra soft compact head toothbrush when they're in treatments. And the small head of bristles is going to make it easier to reach the really hard to access areas of the mouth. And avoid toothbrush trauma in those areas. But then the soft bristles are going to be gentle on the tissue and make brushing continue to be possible in case the tissue does get sore. So if, unfortunately, with mouth sores, if they do start occurring, it can be hard for people to want to keep brushing or be able to keep brushing. And unfortunately, the more plaque buildup that occurs, the more likely they're going to have mouth sores. So it can be a real vicious cycle for people. So keeping it as gentle as possible.
Is there certain people that are more prone to mouth sores?
Yes. There are certain risk factors. And of course, a lot of that will depend on their diagnosis and their treatment plan. And there are certain risk factors that we have no control over. So the extremes of age, like the very young, the older patients are going to be more at risk. Females are actually more susceptible than males. People that have dry mouth are going to be more susceptible. So that's something we can control, you know, and those are the things we really need to look at, the things that we have some control over, and that is treating the dry mouth, keeping the mouth really clean, reducing that amount of plaque inside of the mouth, and then also just reducing any irritation. And that's where seeing a dentist early on in the process is so valuable, because if there is a partial or denture that rubs on the tissue too much, they can have a chance to adjust that. Or if there's a rough edge of a cusp or a spot that catches food easily, anything that can kind of start that inflammatory process can eventually lead to mouth sores. And if we can remedy those before they have a chance to start, we can hopefully prevent some of the issues.
So you talked about toothbrush. Is there a certain toothpaste that we should try if we have mouth sores?
Actually, in general, if you are in treatments, it's great to look at your ingredients and try to avoid certain irritating or potentially irritating detergents. The most common one that you will see in almost all over-the-counter toothpaste is something called sodium lauryl sulfate. And that is something that just can be kind of a tipping point for people to cause that irritation. There is another one that has a long name to it called cocamidopropyl betaine that has found to be a tissue irritant to some people. But then also avoiding things like tartar control, avoiding whitening products, just really sticking with mild flavors. That can be really helpful to people because especially like mint and cinnamon may not only be too feel too sharp for the tissue if it's tender, but also can aggravate some nausea for people as well.
So probably just more or less flavorless, more common type of toothpaste. I never even thought about that, Pam. Never even thought about like certain ingredients in your toothpaste. Like I'm just brushing my teeth. I'm trying to, you know, I'm doing the right thing. But there may be some ingredients in your toothpaste that are really counterproductive for you.
Right. And unfortunately, again, it could really start that vicious cycle for people. And if they can't tolerate their toothpaste, if it's making their tissue hurt, if it's making them feel nauseous, then they don't want to brush. And then, you know, then they're more likely to have problems. So
let's talk about the side effect support that you have started. What kind of resources is out there for patients?
So when I started side effect support, I tried to create a resource kind of modeled after what I always wished that I would have had when I was trying to learn more about this subject. So it is really meant to be an easy access for free information that is split up for patients and their family caregivers in more layman's terms. And then I also do have free information for healthcare providers that are more technical to hopefully get medical and dental providers more on the same page as far as what we're recommending to our patients. And then also it has access to different services and products that people can, I always say you could sit at home in your jammies, go online, get everything kind of right to your door and right on your screen and not have to be going from store to store to store looking for certain things. You just have examples right there that you can look into and see what works best for you.
You know what I found too, Pam, that's really neat? It's almost kind of like, you know, it's the Amazon, if you will, and as Jill is talking about, of supplies that maybe you might want to try this one or try that one. It's all right there. And it's geared towards, as we're talking about, oral health. But the really cool thing I found is, Jill, there, you guys have access or provide access to teledentistry. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to partner with a platform called the Teledentist, which is a group of licensed dentists who can provide a virtual visit within 10 minutes or less, 365 days a year. And you can access that right through my website. And I really value that service because many people you know, they might not have what you would call a dental home. They don't have a dental office that they call their own. Or let's say they're in the middle of treatments and their blood counts are low right now and they really can't get into a dental office. And maybe their dental office doesn't offer teledentistry services. They can get online and discuss their concerns with a licensed dentist and have some guidance, triage the problem, and hopefully avoid an emergency situation. And I think that's the biggest thing is emergency departments are many times overrun with dental problems that could have been avoided. And that's not their area of expertise.
If you're listening and you're like, oh, tell a dentist, I'm not, no, I've got to go see. Listen, if you've never done the teledoc thing, it's life-changing. You know, we always joke, right, Pam, you go to the urgent care or you go to your doctor when you're sick and you come home with something else that you caught while you were there. You know, you guys that are listening, you know, you're cautious. You're told to be cautious, be aware of your surroundings, watch your germs, you know, all those things. This is just one more area that is available out there. I was not even thinking, I didn't know that this was available, but it's one more option that, as Jill, you said, you don't even have to leave. You can be sitting in your chair at home and have a dentist appointment over the phone or online. It's awesome. I mean, it is the right way to go in these situations.
And for me, I think a big thing that really makes me happy with the two is the affordability of it. You know, I had both my parents had cancer. I am very heightenedly aware of the financial concerns that come with a cancer diagnosis. So one of my goals was always, if there's products, if there's services, I've got a partner's marketplace with partner companies, that there's some type of a low cost, a discount that is available for patients, for consumers, that just to help to take some of that burden off, you know, provide the help, but not, you know, you think of paying a small amount for a teledentistry service versus what you would pay going to an emergency room to see somebody that is going to not have that expertise for dental problems.
Yeah. And the fact that you said 365 days a year. Yep. I love my dentist. I do. I really do. But he doesn't work 365 days a year.
He probably won't be.
We'll
be answering questions at 3 a.m., right?
Exactly. And yeah. Listen, that's when it happens, right? That's when it happens. I'm thinking yes. back to my last dental emergency was on like the 4th of July, you know, and my dentist is not working on the 4th of July. It's that's when that stuff happens. Gosh, that's amazing. So you guys listening, go, here's what you do. Jill said it's on her website. I want to give the website out real quick because we want to make sure we give it out multiple times here. It's sideeffectsupport.com. sideeffectsupport.com. It's easy to navigate. Find the teledentistry, bookmark it, save it, however you need to do, if that's something that you need.
So Jill, if teledentist isn't for everybody and they want to go in person, is there something that they need to be looking at whenever they find a dentist or a dental hygienist to go to that has some expertise in the cancer world?
There are some dental providers that are considered dental oncologists. If you are lucky enough to live in an area that has somebody with that expertise, that would be a great resource. Not everybody has that ability. If you live in more rural areas, finding people that have extra training in this area can be tough sometimes, but it's something that's worth asking. And if you ever feel like your dental practice, your dental providers is not really appreciating your concerns or your issues, keep looking. There are going to be providers that will give you the attention and listen to your concerns. And sometimes it might take looking around a little bit to find the right fit for you.
Another chance to be an advocate for your own self.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the reality is this is something that we really don't learn about you know, generally in dental school or dental hygiene school, it really does take that extra effort on that provider's part to learn more. So hopefully they can also utilize side effect support in those ways to get some easy to gather information.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You know, you do that, right? Maybe with your doctor, your oncologist, maybe you're on your second opinion or you've had a third opinion, you know, and it's okay. Maybe we don't think about that with our dentist. It's okay to seek care elsewhere to make sure you're getting the right care, especially with someone who understands, because it's different. It is a different, as we've discussed, it is a different kind of oral care for you guys that are going through treatment. That is a very good point. And why not point them to, hey, listen, I want you to go research how to better care for me. Go to sideeffectsupport.com and check it out. And the other thing that you didn't mention, Jill, that I want to make sure to mention as well, if you're listening and maybe, you know someone who's got a kiddo that's going through cancer, there's also resources on there and information for kiddos going through cancer treatment and their oral care as well. We don't want to overlook that, although we're talking about adults, but that's very vital as well.
Yes, and kids can actually have some really unique issues where they can have growth and development problems with their teeth, how their teeth develop, how their jawbone develops. So it's important that little ones have consistent dental care after their treatments are done as well, that you know, these issues can be monitored. And if they're noticing some problems with growth and development, it can be addressed at an early stage and hopefully keep everything conservative with their treatments.
Yeah. So Jill, I just have two questions. You know, magic mouthwash is usually a solution for a lot of things. Is there any science behind it? And is there any special formula? Because I know every magic mouthwash has a little bit of different formula. Or is the salt and soda rinses better than the mouthwash?
That's a tough one because magic mouthwash is used so commonly and it almost seems like a knee-jerk reaction in medical and dental fields. Not sure what to do. We'll just give you some magic mouthwash. But and there are so many recipes, like you mentioned, and it really depends on the preference of that clinic, of the doctors, of what recipe that they prefer. But most of them are going to have some type of a coating agent, like a Mylanta, milk of magnesia, those types of things. Most will have a anesthetic of some sort, like a viscous lidocaine. And many of them have a diphenhydramine, which is like an antihistamine, anti-inflammatory. But they can also have some negative side effects too. Sometimes people will have burning of their tissue or they'll have taste changes with it. Some people have gastrointestinal problems with using magic mouthwash. And I've heard sometimes, I've actually attended a couple classes where they would recommend magic mouthwash for dry mouth, and there's really nothing in there that would contribute to helping a dry mouth issue. Plus that stickiness of some of the ingredients might not be so great for teeth in the long run. But they're finding that really it doesn't really have that great of a benefit as compared to the baking soda and salt water rinses. And, you know, I don't want to say it's not ever a good choice, because that for some people, if they've got a lot of mouth sores, that numbing effect may be what gets them through to be able to eat. So there are going to be specific situations where, yeah, that's going to be a game changer for somebody. But I think my personal opinion is that it's best to be selective in its use and not have just a blanket prescription for everybody to be using it. It's not the right fit for everybody.
But here again, I'm hearing trial and error. If it, you know,
and individualized care, you know, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing too, is that when we're making these recommendations or product suggestions, that is specific to that patient, you know, and not just we're just going to give this to everybody because that's what we do type of a thing.
Yeah.
Jill, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about oral health?
I think just really to understand how valuable it is. It's really affects so much more than what people sometimes give credit to. It's your smile can just make a difference in your mood. It can actually, it's shown to have some psychological benefits for natural pain relief, natural mood boosters, all without medication. So your smile is really important, and it can make a difference in your relationships. It can make a difference in employment opportunities, and it's something to value for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. This brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you could share with our listeners?
I think so. This was a tough one. I was trying to really think of a great example. I think one that always will stick out prominently in my mind is when I had the idea of Create Side Effect Support. It was an intimidating thought because I have no background in anything like this besides the dental part and learning more about the oncology end, but I didn't know about creating a website or doing marketing or social media or, you know, anything like that. So while I was really pondering it, it's funny how certain people enter your life at the right time and show you that there is such a need. And I had a young lady, a young woman from our area that was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, that our paths crossed just at the right time as I was contemplating doing this. And it turns out that she was going in for a bone marrow transplant when we met. And I had just suggested, if you haven't seen a dentist, please make sure that you see one before you go in for your bone marrow transplant. And it turned out she hadn't. She actually had seen a dentist prior to her diagnosis of multiple myeloma and had already been told that she had cavities. She already told that she needed a root canal. And she was purposely avoiding dental treatment because she didn't want to cause her family any further financial hardship. So she very closely went into bone marrow transplants without having a dental checkup. And the dentist that I work for at the time, just a very, very kind, kind person. And we were able to get her in on short notice. We've got restorations done. We got the root canal done, actually got her in for extracting all wisdom teeth, got her started on all of those little tricks that we talk about, like the toothpaste, to, you know, avoiding certain things, using the extra soft compact head toothbrushes, different flavors, and got her prepared with all these things. And she went in and actually had two bone marrow transplants, one with her own cells first to condition her to have one with donated cells. And she actually went through both of those and did not have one single mouth sore.
No.
She said her providers were actually coming in and a little confused and amazed with it. And I can't say that that's going to happen for everybody by any means, but she came through so wonderfully that that's multiple myeloma is a tough one. At the time when she was diagnosed was back in 2012. It didn't really have a great 5-year survival rate to it, but we're all these years later and she's had a chance to get married. She's had a chance to have twin boys through surrogacy. She's had a chance to find a career that she loves as a successful photographer. And she's just an amazing person. And she has, her presence in this world has just made everybody else's world that much better. And to think that maybe we played a small part in helping her to get through this okay, is really great. It's a good feeling.
Wow.
It's crazy when paths cross right at the right time.
It is. It's somebody was looking down upon both of us with that for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's impactful. I mean, when you think about the sheer likelihood of going through a bone marrow transplant, you're probably going to have some side effects. And I mean, we've heard it, right, Pam, the mouth sores and stuff like that, the infections. Wow. That's great. That is amazing. You know, I think it's the tying up the loose ends here is, as you said, Jill, not overlooking the importance of dental care, period, end of story. I think that can sum it up right there. Taking it serious, you know, oh, I know I need this, or oh, I know I need that down the road. I mean, just imagine if that lady you just talked about didn't have all of that stuff done before she had the bone marrow transplants. You hate to say what if, but I mean, likely right. She probably would have had some significant issues down the road with her mouth.
Yes. Yeah. And just the infection risk alone, I think would have, I think it's important for people to remember if you have an infection in your mouth, there's no reason it's going to stay confined there.
Yeah.
It can spread.
It's going elsewhere. Jill, right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking your situation and creating a very, very important resource that people need to know about. And so we're super excited that you joined us today to share not only your heart, but share your desire for really a life-changing opportunity for people to have access to dental stuff.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Pam, I tell you, we always say we learn something every single time we have a podcast guest.
We do. And we hope that our listeners do too.
Absolutely. We do. We do. Now, this is a great opportunity, right, to tell our listeners a couple of things. One, if they have thoughts or ideas of a topic for our podcast, man, I wish that they would cover this. I wish they need to shoot us an email, right, Pam?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
info@24survivorship.org.
Let us know. We'll do the homework. We'll find somebody to visit about the topics that you want to hear from. The other thing is, Pam, we have an app, and we need our listeners to download our app, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know, the
super easy.
It's
user friendly.
So simple, so easy. Go to the App Store or go to the Google Play Store, whichever platform you're on. It's Cancer Survivorship Center. Cancer Survivorship Center. Now, you may be saying, but I don't live in Amarillo. You can listen to our podcast directly from the app. You don't even have to go to Spotify. You don't have to go to Apple Podcasts. You can listen directly from our app. So that's your piece for living outside of Amarillo, to download our app. Check out the stuff there. Now, you do live in Amarillo in the area. We have all things survivorship on there for you. If you need to meet with Pam to go over your treatment summary and care plan, you can request that. If you need to meet with our dietitian, if you need to meet with our personal trainer, if you need to meet with one of our 4 or 5 licensed professional counselors that we work with, you can do all of that there. And Pam, how much does it cost?
It's free.
Free. 100%. Everything that we offer, including all of our group wellness classes, all of our programs and activities. So make sure you download that app. Make sure you get plugged in. And then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the AutoLink family of dealerships, as they have supported 24 Hours in the Canyon and the Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website, 24survivorship.org.